Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another weekend edition of Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. Good to have you along today. If you miss any part of our program today, don't forget, always drop by our website, and you can listen to the podcast of this show right here, and everything you need to know is right there. Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute is with us today. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Glad to be back with you.
So how are things at IYI? Everything going all right?
It is going very well. So we kick off, you know, July 1 is our new fiscal year, same as the state. So it's kind of, we're taking a look at new year and what's happening and what's changed. And some of that has to do with the new laws that went into effect for kids.
One thing about IYI, Indiana Youth Institute, that we do point out before we get too deep into the weeds on the legislative stuff, and that is you guys really try your darndest to be as apolitical as possible when it comes to this.
You bet. You bet. We are nonpartisan, right? So we really focus on the stats and the data and the research and what we think is best for kids in Indiana. And sometimes different folks view that different ways. But yes, we are wholly nonpartisan.
With that in mind, you're dealing with a Republican supermajority in the state legislature. Is that good, bad? How does that work for you guys?
Well, you know, I think in reality, we saw a lot of things coming out of the legislature that for us, every elected official, I can say this, that we've interacted with wants good information, right? They want good data. They want good research. Now, how they use that for what bills or for what sometimes, you know, differs from person to person. But in reality, they are looking for good information, and we're happy to provide that.
So, okay, we had this, and like I said, we had the supermajority of the Republicans in there. And even though everybody likes to pay, I don't know what you call respect to the Democrats, they really don't matter. No matter what they want, it doesn't usually get passed if it even gets heard. So were you guys basically happy with what Republicans did this past year?
Well, and you know, again, we can tell you what happened and how we think it'll benefit or how we think some of the things. There were a couple big misses this time that we wish that somebody would have taken up and that we know will be coming up again this fall in the next legislative session.
Okay, so they went through and they passed a budget. Everybody talks about the money. And let's face it, they all, you know, the biggest, I guess you could say, I'm trying to think even how to phrase it. One thing everybody agrees on, they didn't give enough money to education. Okay, well, I mean, that's what everybody seems to agree on.
I think there was a lot of that, right? And at the same time, there were funding increases in education and to the level that it's actually the highest level in over a decade in public education for K-12. And so, yes, I think there were a lot of things that did not get funded, particularly teacher pay increases that I know are in summer committees right now that they're looking at. That'll come up again for sure because we are facing a teacher shortage, right? And we need to pay attention to that. And in reality, the funding levels did go up for education.
Yeah, they went up by what, like 2.5%, something like that? So
you got it.
So I guess exactly the big debate is, it's like, okay, they threw more money in the education pot, but did they put it in the right segment? You know, you can throw money at a problem all day long, but unless you aim right, it doesn't necessarily do you any good.
Right, right. And I think time will tell, right? I know that this year, many of the bills focused on school safety. And that was the whole range of one of the big bills that passed had to do with, you know, the stop arms because of the terrible tragedy with the three children. And so that was one thing. And, of course, we want all of our kids to be safe. The other times there was a lot of money going towards kind of the logistics of screening, the wands, the metal detectors, that kind of thing. One of the other big ones is they started to address social-emotional well-being, kind of looking at that root cause of let's try to address some of these mental health issues in kids before it gets to the point where they're bringing a weapon to school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, some of the things in the budget, they gave $20 million to the new funding for next-level jobs employer training programs. That's kind of neat. $74 million for other education programs like the Teacher Appreciation Grant Program. But also in the budget was Department of Child Services. DCS has really been under the gun, and quite honestly, for good reason in some cases, for what they do and don't do. But they got, what, another $250 million in the next 2 years, right?
About that, 256 in the first year and 246 the next year, so averages out to 250, which sounds like a ton of money, and it is a ton of money, right? Mm-hmm. $250 million is a lot of money, and yet within their scope of service, it'll be interesting to see. There's some debate on, is that enough to really get the reforms that they need, they're going to have to do some internal belt tightening to make sure that they're really getting the results. And, you know, next year there's a report due to say, how have they used it and did they put it in the right spots? Just like you said with education, it's all about how do you then use that $250 million, and is it achieving the results that they needed?
In addition to the budget, though, DCS also has some requirements now, things that they have to do, phone contacts, caseload limits, that kind of thing. What's IYI, what's your spin on what DCS is going to have to do now?
Well, I think the caseload limits, right? Right now we know that it's just unrealistic. There's not going to be the time and attention needed for each of those kids when those caseloads are so high, let alone the fact that with those caseloads so high, those caseworkers, you know, it's a hard sell to get somebody that's really going to be committed to doing that over time. So that's a big one. You know, I think that really the amount of availability by phone contacts, how timely they are in their responses, it's all interconnected, right? So it's basically a complete overhaul. And we know that it's needed. You know, there's been some cases in your area. There's been other cases around the state where we know that that's needed. Again, it's whether those funds will produce those results that we're all looking for.
Sometimes kids that wind up interacting with DCS have to wind up dealing with the juvenile justice system in the state of Indiana. Some do, some don't. But they did go through and they made a couple of changes in the juvenile justice system in the state. What actually happened there?
Well, you know, there wasn't a ton of big legislation. One of the ones that did not pass, which I think most folks are in favor of, was going to change the age at which a child could be moved into adult court. Mm-hmm. And it was going to move that to 12 years old, move that down. That's really completely opposite of the trend around the country is to, you know, we know that kids' brains are developing later in life. Their ability to make rational decisions is happening later and later. So now they're saying it depends on what research you look at. Adulthood is anywhere from 21 to 26 years old. And so to address a 12-year-old child as in an adult court was really going against a lot of the research. So there was a ton of opposition, and that bill did not pass. So that was a big one.
Okay. Well, now the other thing, too, is that they did try to address the family and community. Even though we say Indiana Youth Institute, you guys really do kind of take a look at everything that has to deal with kids, and that includes adults, too, and the family and the community and all that. So the House and Senate both had a couple different things going on. Did we get a good win in either one of those? What did we get?
Absolutely, both. So the first one had to do with homeless kids, right? A lot of times it's homeless teens. And what this bill did was it enabled folks who are working on behalf of those kids to access government identification and to help them get educational services, whether or not they're designated as a parent or guardian, right? So sometimes there was kind of this bottleneck that could happen where someone was wanting to help a homeless child or a homeless youth, and they couldn't get the documentation, they couldn't get access to services that they needed. So that was a big improvement.
That's good, though. I mean, so we've got that. Now, was there any misses when it came to that? Was there some missed opportunities at all?
Well, I think that one was pretty straightforward. There was another bill that had to do with parent incarceration. And, you know, there are some folks, there are a good number of parents who have been, have played a meaningful role in their child's life, and then they're incarcerated. And we could probably have a whole conversation on how that could come about or what that could mean, But the reality is we needed DCS to evaluate that, right, and say if this parent did play a meaningful role in the child's life, they need to be included in those case plans, right? Because, again, you don't need to penalize the child for the crime that the adult has committed. We need to try to make that a stable relationship for the child as possible with an incarcerated parent.
So Indiana Youth Institute, what recommendations do you guys have for DCS? I mean, this thing has been, I think, by just about all accounts, a mess for quite a while. It's not necessarily that they have bad people working for them.
Absolutely.
Because I think just about everybody would agree that most everybody that works at DCS, bottom line, they want to do what's best for the kids, but they're caught in that governmental trap where it seems like the best intentions never quite see the light of day. So what do you guys recommend that the DCS do differently, or how do they improve themselves?
Well, I think they're getting there, and I think this legislature, we really heard it. They cannot, I think they're at a point where incremental change is not going to do it, right? I mean, again, we're talking about big changes that need to happen there, and they need to think on a really big scale And they have, particularly in their current leader, somebody that can do that. But I think the challenge has been they've had these big problems, and they've tried to just tweak them here and there. And that's really not going to do it, right? And the legislature recognized that, which is why they were willing to make this investment. That being said, you know, again, it's going to take a lot of proof to say, is that investment getting us where we need to be? And they're going to have to make huge systemic change.
See if you agree with me on this. The state legislator, basically, most of those folks, they want to try to do the right thing, just like we're talking about the DCS. They want to do the right thing.
Yes.
But most of those guys and gals don't really know much of anything about what they're doing when it comes to a lot of the topics that they are asked to address. So they depend on advice, and they wind up, we wind up not really getting much of anything done.
Well, the last part, I'll comment on the last part, but the first couple of parts for sure.
The only reason I said that was because of the fact that they're asked to be experts in areas here that they probably don't really know anything about. I mean,
well, and the scope of the bills, I think that's something that sometimes, particularly when we're dealing with whether, you know, a particular constituency, whether it's after school programs or addiction programs or schools, you know, the folks that we interact with are experts in those areas, and they want our elected officials to be as expert. And really, you know, that's probably not a realistic opportunity. You know, the scope of the bills that they cover in a given legislative session are all across the board. So our goal is to really make sure we're boiling it down to the really necessary components and making a really compelling argument for what is best for kids and what could they do and how, you know, what would that cost and what are the results and that kind of thing. Because again, like you said, they can't be experts in everything, and they shouldn't be expected to do so.
One of the things, or actually there's a couple of things I know that we mentioned a little bit earlier on, but I want to go back and touch on real quick, is where they missed a couple of bills that they may have missed this year. One of them has to do with health and kids and smoking, right?
Absolutely. And I would even say those are probably the two biggest misses. There were two. We were hoping a couple of pieces of legislation would pass. One would increase the state smoking age to 21. And the second one would increase the cigarette. Now, it's funny because if you ask some folks, they're calling it the cigarette user fee or the tax, either one, but it's on users, both of which we know that 9 out of 10 smokers start before the age of 18. So we know that in order to have healthy, productive citizens going forward, we've got to reduce the number of smokers and nicotine users. You're going to hear a lot more about vaping and the delivery device of using nicotine for vaping and kind of putting that together with cigarettes.
All right. Now, summer study committees, where all of our state legislators who are experts at not much of anything try to get together and become experts at something. So,
right. So, and gather as much information as possible.
Yeah. So what's going on in the summer study committees that you guys are really kind of keeping an eye on?
Two big ones. One has to do with education, right? And again, that's going to be looking at teacher pay. In addition, it's looking at school counseling programs. And as we talk about social and emotional well-being and what's needed and all the behavioral health issues that we know our kids are facing, what really is that school counseling role and what's its impact, and are there changes that need to be made or not at the state level? So that's really the big one. Also, the courts and the judiciary, really they're going to be looking at reform laws for juvenile justice, adjudication, rehabilitation. We know that it's much more cost-effective to rehab juvenile offenders so that they don't hopefully become adult offenders.
How do you not cross the line from becoming an information source as opposed to a lobbyist? Because obviously, with the information that you guys have, you probably have a pretty good handle on where things ought to go, but yet you're not necessarily trying to shove an agenda. So how do you keep from crossing that line?
Well, what we do is we really are fact-based, right? Like, so we'll talk a lot about, you know, what do we know that some of our peer states have done or comparable states that have helped kids, right? And share that information. That doesn't mean it's necessarily going to work in Indiana. It doesn't mean it's going to work in all parts of Indiana. It could work in Terre Haute and not in Seymour, right? And so really making sure we're communicating all the options that are out there and saying, you know, it's in all of our best interest that all of our kids grow up to be productive, contributing citizens. And that's not hard to get buy-in on. You know, how you go about doing that, people have different opinions on. And that's where, you know, and that's fine. And that's to be understood. But as long as we keep saying our end goal is for all of our kids to be well-educated, safe, and healthy, then we can work with pretty much anyone on how do we go about achieving that.
So how are you received in the state legislature in the halls of Indiana State House? Do they look at you like folks that actually know something, or do they look at you like somebody's like, oh my God, here they come, they're going to want me to do this?
hopefully the first. You know, I think the reality is they know that we're always going to ask, what about the kids? Right. Again, when we talked about smoking early on, again, probably about this time last year, there was a lot of discussion about the cigarette tax. And in reality, there wasn't a lot of conversation about kids and the impact. So we came to the table and said, what about kids? Right. The youngest users and most of the smokers start before age 18. And yet nobody was really talking about kids. And so they know when they see us, we're always going to say, what about the kids? What does this mean for kids in the household? If more people are living in poverty, what does that mean for kids? You know, what's the end result on kids? So they know that. Second of all, I hope that they know, and we hear this from a lot of them, they know that we have data and information that they can use to benefit them. And again, most of them, as you said, they want to do a good job. They want the facts, they want the research, and they know that we're a reliable source for that.
And they know that you're not funded by somebody with an agenda.
Correct. And you know, it's interesting that you say that. You know, it's my understanding that when we were founded, gosh, about 30 years ago, there was some discussion of should we be embedded in a state agency or not, right? Because they saw that it could benefit a lot of these decision makers. And at that time, they decided, let's have it be separate so that it can be nonpartisan, that it can be something that doesn't have to do with the political calendars, right? That we're just kind of that trusted source of information and support, and that we're always going to be advocating for Indiana's kids and working with whoever's elected across the state at the local or at the state level.
They ever call you in, have you testify in front of a committee or do anything like that?
Occasionally. Not as much as I think you might see in the pretty near future. just foreshadowing a little bit. You know, I think there's a lot of push for more data, more information, more research. And again, they want to make sure that they're asking and looking to folks that do not have a set political agenda to provide that for them.
All right. Now, as far as the hits, the misses, and all that kind of stuff, you actually write an article every month. That you guys put on your website. So they can go there and they can actually read the article and read up on what we've been talking about and read past articles and all that kind of stuff at your website, right?
Absolutely. IYI.org. It's all there for anybody to take a look at. You know, and we also have some deeper information that's connected as well. So if you want to dive deeper, it's available to you as well. The other thing that I'm just going to plug that's on our website is actually our Kids Count Conference. It's in December, which sounds like forever away from now, but we just open up scholarship opportunities. So if you're interested in attending the conference, but your organization doesn't have the funds to send you, scholarship applications are live now.
All right, very good. Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute, thank you for being with us today. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to it back as a podcast on our website. IYI.org is their website, and you can find all your info there, and we will see you again next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.